So today we have three scriptures. I'm excited to read this first one especially. It'll be a story that I'm sure many of you all know. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was burning. Yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Then he said, do not come near. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. You have brought forth the people out of Egypt, and you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. And this is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. In 1 Corinthians, I want you to know, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same supernatural food, and all drank the same supernatural drink. They drank from the supernatural rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things are warnings for us, not to desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to dance. We must not indulge in immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put the Lord to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happen to them as a warning, that they were written down for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, Let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overcome you that is not common to human beings. God is faithful, and God will not let you be tempted beyond your strength, but with the temptation will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. And finally, from Luke chapter 13. There were some present at that very time who told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered thus? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Lo, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, "Let it alone, sir. This year also, till I dig around it and put on manure, and if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." Now we'll invite Micah to come and instruct us on these readings.
Good morning. So when Moses encountered the burning bush in the desert, he had been out in that desert living for decades. Moses had fled when he was a young man, fled from Egypt, and made his way out to Midian, which is in Sinai on the other side of the Red Sea. Moses had been an Egyptian noble, but that was a long time ago. He was a shepherd now, a goat herder, keeper of goats and cattle. He was husband to Sephora, father to Gershom, a man of few words, accustomed to the deep silences of desert wilderness. And Moses was an old man. He was an old man who was leading his father-in-law's flock near Horeb, the mountain of God. And it's here, at the foot of the mountain of God, that the angel appears to Moses in the form of a bush blazing with fire. The bush was burning, but it was not consumed. Now, as Louise said this morning, this is probably a story that all of us have heard. Probably all of us have seen it in a Hollywood movie. This is a very, very famous story. Almost anyone in the world has heard this story. And I personally have probably heard or read this story hundreds of times. And so I think it's such a famous story that it's easy to miss the full impact of it because we've gotten so used to it and we think we know the details. But I want us to think again about this for a moment, about how weird this is. Moses has been moving through the empty expanse of the desert alone with his flocks for days. And I was trying to think of what this desert actually looked like, because sometimes I hear desert, sometimes I hear wilderness. And I went and looked on Google Maps, not to say that Sinai looks the exact same now as it did, 3,000 years ago, but whoa, it's like Mars. It's just rocks and mountains and majestic nothing. So I'm imagining Moses wandering in that wasteland for days with his flocks. He sees mountains and rocks and dirt. And then he sees this fire. a bush on fire out by the mountain for no apparent reason. That's pretty weird. But maybe it was a lightning strike. But as he gets closer and takes another look, it's even weirder than he thought, because, you know, normally when something's on fire, there's some smoke. But I'm thinking this bush probably wasn't emitting any smoke. There's probably no smoke coming off because the bush wasn't being consumed at all. There was just fire on it. Weird. So our son George, given his name, is very fond of the Curious George books. And early on in every Curious George book, there comes a moment when it says, "And George was curious." Well, Moses was curious. Moses was curious about this bush that was on fire, but not smoking and not being consumed. So, like I think most of us would, he turns aside from where he was going and goes to take a look at this bush, this flaming desert plant. And it says that when the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses says, "Here I am." Now, does this sound familiar yet? A couple sermons back for me last month, we heard about the prophet Isaiah being called, and God says, "Who will go for me?" And Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me." Same thing happens with, an even more similar thing happens with Jeremiah. God is calling Jeremiah's name, and Jeremiah says, "Speak, for your servant is listening. Here I am." So God has Moses' attention. Burning bush, voice speaking his name out of bush. I'd be freaked. So now that Moses is listening, God tells him, "Don't come any closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground." And God introduces himself to Moses, because who knows what the source of this voice out of the burning bush might be. God says, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And at this point, it says that Moses covered his face and looked away because he was afraid to look at God, to see God. He knew that no one can see the face of God and live. And so it's at this point that God explains why he's appearing to Moses in this very strange way. God says, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good land, a broad land, full of milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites, that is the children of Israel, has come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Okay, that was a lot. So there are several pieces here that I want to unpack of what God just said. First of all, God says that he's heard the cry of his people, the Israelites, the son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God knows that they're suffering. And he's come down. And it's not clear to me whether it means come down from heaven, like out of the sky, or just come down to Egypt, because Egypt is sort of down and Palestine is sort of up. But God's going to come down one way or another. And he's going to deliver the Israelites from the Egyptians. Deliverance. That's important, and we'll come back to that. Number two, not only is God going to deliver the Israelites from Egypt, but he has a plan to take them somewhere. The voice from the burning bush says that he will bring the children of Israel up from Egypt and into a good, broad land, the promised land, a land of milk and honey. Other people live there now, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and many others. But God is going to make a space for the Israelites. God will create a new homeland for the children of Jacob, just as he promised Abraham generations ago. And finally, God says how it's going to happen, how God's deliverance is going to play out in practical terms. God is going to send Moses to Pharaoh. God will send Moses as a messenger to tell old Pharaoh to let his people go. So everything was good up until that last part, right? Thinking, imagine yourself as Moses. Amen, burning bush. Our people have been suffering. Yes, Lord, our people have been suffering. Take us to that promised land. Absolutely, Lord, send me to Pharaoh. Whoa, hold on. Wait a minute. Send me to Pharaoh? Why me, Lord? It's written that Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God's response is this: "I will be with you. Trust me. It's going to be all right. And when we're all said and done, and I brought my people up out of Egypt, you'll know that I was with you, because you're going to come and bring them to this mountain, and you're going to worship me here. I will be with you," God says. "You can't do this yourself. Liberating your people from bondage, that's beyond you. But you don't have to be scared, because I will be with you. I will do it. I'm just sending you as the messenger." All right. But Moses is still scared, though. Because despite all this reassurance from the voice in the burning bush, God wants Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh what to do. Pharaoh, the God king, who wields power of life and death over everyone in Egypt. And that's not all. That's just step one. That's step two. Step one is convincing his own people that he is the messenger of God. And these are people he ran away from decades ago. He has to convince them to stand with God in this struggle. So Moses says to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what should I say to them?" So what's your name, God? Who are you, really? Reveal yourself to me so I can feel safe. Tell me your identity so that I can bound you in, so I can feel in control again." God's answer to Moses is, "I am who I am. I will be who I will be. Don't worry about my name, Moses. Go tell your fellow Israelites that I am sent you. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations." So as I was reading this story, I was realizing that I really feel for Moses here. It's a funny story when you it's almost comical when you sort of remove yourself from it. But I feel for Moses here. I get why he wants to run away, and why he really doesn't want to go toe to toe with the Egyptians. And I understand why he doesn't want to go back and tell his fellow Israelites in the land of Goshen in Egypt. I wouldn't want to go back either. Because common sense tells Moses that he can't beat Pharaoh in a straight-up fight. And experience tells Moses that he can't trust his fellow Israelites to back him up when push comes to shove. So the story of the burning bush comes from the third chapter of Exodus. But the story of Moses starts in chapter 2. And in chapter 2 in the book of Exodus, just a few paragraphs before what we're reading now, Moses gets himself into a lot of trouble for sticking his neck out for his fellow Israelites. So Moses has a really unusual background. I mean, we remember him and history remembers him as the great leader of the Hebrew people. But he was practically as much Egyptian as he was Hebrew. He was raised in Pharaoh's household, adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. So grandson to Pharaoh, right? He's culturally Egyptian. At the very least, he's bicultural, right? He looks and smells and acts like an Egyptian. And his youth was one of luxury and privilege. He didn't have to see what was going on out in the fields of Goshen where his people lived. He didn't have to witness his people's slavery. So as a young man, when Moses finally does see the conditions that his people are living in, it comes as a bit of a shock. It says in the second chapter of Exodus that one day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and saw their forced labor. So Moses had spent his entire life in Pharaoh's court, blissfully unaware of the brutality of the system, the violence and the degradation of it, the power of the state that sought to destroy his people, to keep them only as instruments of economic benefit to wealthy Egyptians. But then, one day, probably without permission, Moses took a field trip, and his life changed. Because it says that Moses saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his kinsfolk. And so Moses looked this way and looked that way, and no one was around to tell the story. So he killed the Egyptian, and he buried him in the sand. Moses saw an act of grave injustice. He saw the powerful mistreating the enslaved. He saw an Egyptian attacking a Hebrew. And Moses took it on himself to enforce justice. He struck with the lethal force that probably came really naturally to a grandson of Pharaoh. Moses assumed that he was born to lead. Pharaoh's system had taught Moses that his own might and violence could bring about justice. Furthermore, Moses thought that his own people would back him up, that they would get what he was trying to do and they would respect him. But the very next day, apparently still hanging out in Goshen, Moses sees another fight, this time between two Hebrews, and it says that he told the one of them that was in the wrong to stop hitting his brother. And that one said to him, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Whoa. This is bad, bad news. Moses says, "Surely the thing is known." Word had gotten out about Moses' act of revolutionary violence. His own people, almost certainly the guy who he saved, told everybody. And pretty soon it says that Pharaoh was ready to kill Moses. Pharaoh found out about it. And so that's how Moses, a member of Pharaoh's household, one of the Egyptian 1%, ends up as a nomadic goat herder in Midian. He flees beyond the Red Sea, out into the wilderness. And he makes friends with the locals by making a name for himself as a fighter. This is something I'd forgotten about. Maybe some of you remember. The reason Moses ends up marrying Jethro's daughter and sort of getting hooked up with Jethro and his people is because there are some really mean shepherds that are mistreating Jethro's daughters, and Moses scares the crap out of them and frightens them away through violence. And so Jethro is very impressed by this, and that's Moses' entree, right? So Moses is a tough guy. Moses is a fighter. Moses is a failed freedom fighter. Moses fought the law, and the law won. So, back to the burning bush. Moses had already seen the cost of sticking his neck out for his brothers and sisters in Goshen. And he knew what challenging Pharaoh could mean. He had failed to spark a revolution in his youth. And now, here in his old age, he had a voice talking to him out of a burning bush, calling him to lead an exodus of Israel from slavery, calling him to challenge Pharaoh directly. No more hiding. I will be with you, God says. It's different this time. Because this time it's not about Moses at all. Moses isn't the tough guy. He's not a guerrilla warrior taking the fight to the Egyptian oppressors. He's an old man, a goat herder with a stutter. This time it's different. Because this time Moses is an instrument of God's power rather than a slave to his own rage and vanity. When Moses was a young man, he anointed himself to mete out justice to the Egyptian ruling class. But now, in his old age, God is sending him to speak the word to Pharaoh. So I think if I were Moses, I'd be feeling pretty upset at this point. Because I'm thinking, maybe the Hebrews even deserve to be in slavery. Look at how they mistreated me. They sold me out. They left me hanging when I put my life on the line for them. Why should I help them now? Why not just keep herding goats? But it's God speaking out of the burning bush. God saying to Moses, I will be with you. I am sending you. I will deliver my people and lead them out of Egypt. I will be who I will be. And you will speak my words to Pharaoh. I never found it very easy to relate to Moses because I got the Charlton Heston version. But I find it easy to relate to this Moses that I'm actually finding in the Bible. Because I'm a failure too. I wanted so badly to see the world change. And I wanted to be the change maker. I wanted to make it happen. But I wasn't strong enough. And I wasn't wise enough. Because I'm not God. Like Moses, I need God to be with me. I need the burning bush to redirect me. I need the pillar of fire and smoke to guide me. I need God's presence and power in my life. I can't make the kingdom of God through sheer force of will. I can't bring about God's justice through my own violence. There's no amount of my own bravado and cleverness that can set the world right. I will be who I will be. This is the name of God forever. It is his title for all generations. He will not be contained. He will not be used for our convenience. God will not be moved. She will always be the mover. But we can be moved. You and I can take off our sandals and wait before the burning bush This is holy ground. The Spirit of God is present in this place, and we can hear God's voice. And what we hear in the silence might surprise us. It might frighten us. We may be called into service that feels too big for us. God may call us into work where we feel like failures. But when God calls us, he also walks with us. And we can trust him to lead us. The Apostle Paul writes that God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide a way out so that you may be able to endure it. God is faithful. God is present. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And just like Moses, God can use us to succeed where our own efforts have failed. So let's stand together in the presence of our burning bush, our living word, the risen Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, and teach us. Be who you will be. Send us where you want us to go.